read the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 to 11. And Kazuo Keller will read it in Japanese. I'll read it in English first. And this is your the love chapter. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things behind me.
じゃあ日本語でコリント人への第一の手紙13章1節から11節までをお読みします。たとえ私が人の威厳や御使いの威厳で話しても、愛がないならやかましいドラやうるさいシンバルと同じです。またたとえ私が予言の賜物を持っており、またあらゆる奥義とあらゆる知識に通じ、また山を動かす山を動かすほどの完全な信仰を持っていても、愛がないなら何の値打ちもありません。またたとえ私が持っているものの全部を貧しい人たちに分け与え、また私の体を焼かれるために渡しても、愛がなければ何の役にも立ちません。愛は寛容であり、愛は親切です。また人を妬みません。愛は自慢せず高慢になりません。礼儀に反することをせず、自分の利益を求めず、怒らず、人のした悪を思わず、不正を喜ばずに真理を喜びます。すべてを我慢し、すべてを信じ、すべてを期待し、すべてを耐え忍びます。愛は決して耐えることがありません。予言の賜物ならば廃れます。威厳ならばやみます。知識ならば廃れます。というのは、私たちの知っているところは一部分であり、予言することも一部分だからです。完全なものが現れたら、不完全なものは廃れます。私が子供であった時には、子供として話し、子供として考え、子供として持ちましたが、大人になった時には子供のことをやめました。以上です。
Morning. How are you guys doing? Okay. I actually like this outdoor worship. Maybe we could do it every week. Yeah, right, exactly. Today I want to talk about love. And we've been doing a series on serving with our spiritual gifts. But as Paul said in his letter, you could have all the spiritual gifts in the world, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. And so I really want to focus on that these next couple of weeks, because you know it could be the you could be the best possible servant in the world. But if you don't love, in the end it's going to be meaningless, worthless. You know, people might say, "Oh, you're so great, you're so wonderful. You're such a talented person." But in the end, when it's all said and done and you're standing before God and you said, "Look what I've done with my life," and God says, "You never loved," it will amount to nothing. And so I want to talk about love. I'm not saying serving is unimportant, because you could be the best servant in the world without love, but you can't be the best lover in the world without serving. And so as we grow in love, we'll naturally become servants. There's just a couple of Bible verses in your inserts concerning the dangers of being a servant without loving. You could read those later. And in your inserts, it's just pretty much a recap of what I talked about last week. Today, if you guys don't mind, I want to keep my sermon short. Yeah, okay, I get one amen.
Amen.
All right, I got
amen.
A couple. See, if it was just one, I'm going to go 2 hours.
Amen for everybody.
But in Jesus' life, we see love lived out. Jesus was the incarnation of God, the exact representative of God the Father. And Scripture tells us God is love. And so as we study and look at Jesus' life, we see love lived out and what that looks like. And so it's important to read the Scripture, understand it, process it, and realize my life should look like this in some ways. And in a lot of ways, Jesus served, right? There's three things that I want to talk about throughout these next couple weeks. One is he came to serve. And we've been talking about serving. Two, he came to save. And three, he came to sacrifice. That's what love looks like. Serving, saving, sacrificing. If we could do those three things well, we're well on our way to being great in the kingdom of God. And that's where it counts. Amen? We talked about serving. I want to talk about saving today. What it means to be saved. Salvation. Now, a lot of times when we think about salvation, we think about going to heaven, right? No?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Because I think that's the greatest part of salvation. That's the if anything, if I were to be saved of anything, I want to be saved for the next life. Because that's in eternity. It'll last forever. But that's just a partial part of salvation. When it talks about salvation, it talks about mind, body, soul, emotion, relationally, and spirit. It talks about all those things. In Scripture, it talks about all those things. And I want to take a look at a story in the Old Testament that talks about salvation, not necessarily spiritual salvation, but salvation all the same. And God's heart to save us. His love that saves us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. This might be the first Old Testament story I'm preaching on since I've been here, right? All right. I'm not an Old Testament guy, I'm a New Testament guy, but all the great stories, well, not all of them. A lot of the great stories are in the Old Testament. But 1st and 2nd Kings, in a nutshell, there's the stories of the kings. One scholar says, from David to the death of Jerusalem. So it encompasses these kings of Israel, and a lot of times it talks about the failures of these kings. And so a scholar says, it's probably written so that we won't make the same mistakes. But in between these powerful kings and prophets and powerful figures in Israel, the book of Kings, it takes the time to talk about marginal people, normal people. And this is one of those stories. Let me read. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you want? What do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little olive oil. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it on one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the olive oil, pay your debts, you and your sons can live on what is left. And so you see in this story, it's salvation. But it's salvation financially, it's salvation relationally, and it's salvation of the family. Financially, relationally, and of the family. And that's God's heart. Now, this story doesn't give us a lot of details, so I kind of have to use my imagination. So if you don't mind, I'm going to use my imagination. I could see this woman and this man, right before he passed away, being very faithful, being very godly. I remember when I went to seminary, which was for 10 years of my life. It was supposed to last 3 years, but I wanted to know everything of the Bible. it took 10 years just because I'm not that good in schoolwork, in homework and stuff like that. Anyways, it took 10 years of my life, and those 10 years of my life, I felt that I was supposed to be in seminary. Of course, I had my struggles. I was thinking, God, is this really you? I'm ready to just get a 9-to-5 job and, you know, get out of debt. Because you would think seminary would be cheap. But it's not. It's very expensive. It's just as expensive as getting any master's degree. So in this story, you see a wife and a man, faithful, but obviously he was incurring a lot of debt, right, to have creditors. But I'm sure they were saying, you know, this is the will of God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And as their debt grew, I'm sure their worry grew. But I'm sure they were saying, no, just trust in God, have faith in God. And she was like, okay, I'm going to trust in God, have faith in God. And all of a sudden, the husband died. Now, I'm sure the woman didn't know this was going to happen. I'm not sure. That's my imagination. I'm pretty sure. Can you imagine that? Now, the story says he was among the prophets. And in the Old Testament, the prophets were pretty good, right? I mean, there was Elisha, probably one of the greatest prophets of all time was there. Surely he could have said to the woman, you know, your husband's going to die, get ready. We don't have no indication that happened. The husband dies, the woman is a widow now, with a lot of debt, couple of kids, a single mom. Couple kids. And now she's wondering what's going to happen. The creditors are going to take my son away. If that happened, I don't know what's going to happen to the woman. Even now, she's in a really hard place in life. And she must have thought to herself at one point during this time, am I really in the will of God? Did I fall out of the will of God somewhere? Am I really being faithful? Is it because of my sin that this is happening? And now we see the story. She goes to the man of God and says, hey, this is my story. What am I going to do? The man of God says, get a bunch of empty jars. Can you imagine that? You know, if say I lost my job here. And that's possible. But say I lost my job and I go to my mentor, a prophet or, you know, powerful man of God and say, I was doing everything. I was faithful. I have no money. The government, they're going to seize my property. I don't have any property. The government, they're going to take my wife as a slave. Just, you know, now use your imagination. What am I going to do? What if the man of God said, oh, okay, I can go and collect all the cans he could collect? I'm like, wait, that's not going to help me. I mean, I understand they recycle here, but, you know, imagine the man of God telling this woman, okay, get a lot of empty jars. The woman could have easily said, okay, this is bogus. You know, really, God? Bunch of empty jars? But I love the woman's humility. She does it. She does what the man of God tells her. She's faithful till the end, even as ridiculous as it sounds. And as she goes around, imagine the humility that it takes to ask your neighbor, do you have any empty jars? You know, what would the neighbors, don't you think the neighbors would ask some questions? Or at least there would be some kind of, I don't want to say gossip, but the story would go around, right? Remember so-and-so's wife? Yeah. Well, she came to my house and asked for all my empty jars. She's like, yeah, I know. She came to my house and asked for all my empty jars, too. So the story's going around now. This crazy lady, she wants all our jars. But what happens? She is faithful. She humbles herself. She goes to each neighbor she has. Look, I know this sounds crazy, but can I have all your empty jars? They must be like, okay, why? Well, the man of God told me to get all the empty jars I could get. Okay, well, we'll help you. And so the community now is helping this lady gather all the empty jars she could gather. As she goes home, she closes the door behind her like the man of God tells her, and she starts pouring out oil. The little she has, she pours it out. And the story says the oil didn't stop until the jars were all filled. She goes to the man of God, tells him the story. He says, go sell everything. That'll be enough to pay your debt, and that'll be enough to live on. And if you didn't catch it, that was salvation. Salvation financially. But also salvation relationally. As she talks to all her neighbors, now she has a testimony. Remember all those jars? I was able to sell it. I was able to pay off my debt. I was able to save my family and finally salvation of the family. And that's God's heart. You look at Jesus' life and it's the same thing. Saving people relationally, saving people financially, saving people family. And I think that's what God wants to do for us. Whether you're struggling financially, whether you're struggling relationally, whether your family's struggling, I believe God, in His love, will save it. If in our humility and faithfulness, trust Him. Amen. And that's God's heart of love. And as we see that, I hope that we grow in love too. And become like God in love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Father, that we could gather here and just have a good time outdoors, eat good food, have good fellowship. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you will continue to be with us, fill this time, and we pray for safety, that no one would get hurt. And we just pray safety just for those who couldn't make it today. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name.